This is part two of Vamanadeva's appearance, 2009. The continuing story of Bali Maharaj surrenders his life to Vamanadeva. Eighth canto, chapter 22. We left off with part one of Vamanadeva's appearance day, describing verse 36 from chapter 22 about how Bali Maharaj was anxious about bad association because it destroys one's devotional mentality. So how much more careful we should be about bad association, because our devotional mentality, our faith in Krishna, our faith in devotees, in the process of bhakti and chanting the holy name, can get diminished or diluted due to bad association. We can develop demoniac mentality, and we can counteract that by good association, by associating with devotees of Krishna. And this power of devotees is mentioned by Kapila Muni and Kapila Shiksha, 325-25. Satam prasangan mama virya samvito pavanti ritkarna rasayana kata. We want to discuss, continue point one point here. A few verses earlier, it says, Sada Sanhitam, that Vamanadeva said he'll always be in association with the Lord, he'll always be the doorman. But in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, Sanatana Goswami describes, answers the question, was Vamanadeva actually living 24 hours a day in Sutta Loka, acting as a doorman of his devotee Bali Maharaj, or did he only come there occasionally? Prahlad Maharaj is saying in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, which we'll quote from, that whenever Bali Maharaj tries to go out of Sutula Loka from the different gates, there are many gates leading out of Sutula Loka. No matter which gate Bali Maharaj tries to proceed out from or go out of, he sees Lord Vamanadeva standing at the gate. Why does Lord Vamanadeva expand himself to stand at all these gates? He wants to make sure that Bali Maharaj will not leave Sutta Loka and go attack his brother, that means Vaman's brother Indra on Indra Loka. So basically, Vamanadeva was keeping Bali Maharaj under house arrest, keeping him in Sutta Loka. He would allow him to sometimes go to some lower planet, some other Rasatala, Atala, Patala, because sometimes Lord Vamanadeva was not there all the time. When Narada Muni visited Prahlad Maharaj, was staying with his grandson in Sutta Loka, Narada didn't see Lord Vamanadeva at the gate. So he inquired from Bali's grandfather, Prahlad. Prahlad said that Vamanadeva only comes here whenever there's a need. So what kind of relationship? What kind of relationship is it that Vamanadeva actually has with the Lord? What kind of love is this? What kind of appreciation? That he loves Vamanadeva so much that he keeps him as a gatekeeper. What kind of relationship is it that you keep someone at the gate? Why don't you invite him into the house? If you love someone, you won't keep them out standing by your outside gate. You'll bring him into your house, you'll feed them, sit them down, talk to them, relate with them. The truth is, the Lord Vamanadeva is only seen at the gate of Bali Maharaj's planet, Sutala Loka, every few yugas. Once, during the time of Ramayana, which is a whole other yuga, Treta Yuga, Ravana attacked Sutala Loka. Lord Vamanadeva came there, and with his little toe, he kicked Ravana back to Sri Lanka. Why? Why did he do that? because Vamanadeva was afraid that if Bali Maharaj came out himself and fought with Ravana, he might go out to Sri Lanka and then start thinking, oh, I've defeated Ravana, now I'm in Sri Lanka. Maybe I should go further up to the heavenly planets and attack Indra again in Swargaloka. Therefore, only for the purpose of protecting his older brother Indra, Lord Vamanadeva appeared at that time at the gate. There was a second time, which is described in Dwarka Mahatmyam section of Skanda Puran, when one person named Kusha attacked Dwarka, and the sages there asked Durvasa to go get help from the Lord. Durvasa heard that the Lord was living in the material world on Sutta-loka. So believing this, he proceeded to Sutta-loka to meet the Lord. At that time again, Lord Vamanadeva was standing by the gate. He returned to his post at the gate so he could receive Durvasa Muni. He went there only to uphold the faith and reciprocate with the belief and faith of Durvasa Muni. Because Lord Vamanadeva was sympathetic to the Brahmins, he did not want to disappoint Durvasa Muni, so he immediately was present at the gate of Sutala when Durvasa arrived there. So it's not actually a blessing or a boon to Bali Maharaj that Vaman agreed to be his gatekeeper or doorman or live there, sannitam, to stay with him. Actually, he's only binding him there. Vamanadeva is just keeping watch. He's protecting him from attacking Indra. Actually, the real purpose, the only purpose of Lord Vamadeva's staying or going, not even staying, but going there occasionally to Sutta-loka, is to make sure that Bali Maharaj doesn't escape or leave the planet at any time for any reason and end up landing on Indraloka and attacking Indra. So here's the example. And this is described in the Brihadbhagavatamrita in part 1, chapter 4, verse 33. This chapter 4 of Brihadbhagavatamrita is called Bhakta, the devotee, describing the relationship of Lord Indra, who is a devotee ultimately, with Vamanadeva. Text 33, chapter 4. Kadachit karya gatyeva drishyate ravanadivat durvas asekshito treva vishvasat tasya darshane. On rare occasions, some persons like Ravana can see Lord Vamanadeva on Sutta-loka. Lord Vamanadeva shows himself only when it suits his own purpose. He thus showed himself in Sutta-loka to Durvasa because Durvasa had strong faith in being able to see the Lord. Commentary. I've already summarized this, but this is exactly from the book. While invading the region of Patala, Ravana came to the entrance of Bali Maharaj's capital. But Lord Vaman, standing at the gate with club in hand, refused to let Ravana enter and neglectfully kicked him far away. Prahlad Maharaj argues that this is not proof of Sri Vamana's constant presence at Bali's door. The Lord appeared there on this one occasion for the special purpose of protecting Bali from being conquered by Ravana. Of course, I've explained it slightly different from other commentaries, that the Lord was actually afraid that if Bali came out to fight, that he may win, defeat Ravana, and then go on to challenge Indra. On another occasion, Durvasa, who is living at Kushastali, the site of the future city of Dwarka, was troubled by the demon Kusha and his cohorts. Vasu went to Sutala to ask Vaman for help. Narada advised Vasu to go to Lord Vaman and assured him that he would find him there. Because Vasu trusted Narada's words, Vamana upheld their truth by allowing Vasu his darshan. On chapter 23, demigods regain the heavenly planets. Balimraj and his grandfather Prahlad entered the planet Sutala, and Vamanadeva allowed Indra to re-enter the heavenly planet. In the purport of text 2, Prabhupada explains, when Vamanadeva appeared before Bali, Bali immediately wanted to offer him respectful obeisances, but he was not able because of the presence of Shukracharya and other demons. Balimraj did endeavor within his mind to offer obeisances. So Vamanadeva blessed him with more mercy than even the demigods could get. Swapam apyasya dharmasya chayate mahato bayat. So Krishna is known as Bhava Grahi Janardhan. He takes only the essence of a devotee's attitude. If a devotee sincerely surrenders, the Supersoul immediately understands this surrender. Externally, a devotee may not render full service, but internally, if he's sincere and serious, Krishna welcomes his service nonetheless. Because the Lord is known as Bhava Grahi Janardhan, he takes the essence of one's devotional mentality. The heart and mind is very important in the rendering of devotional service. Krishna is examining the heart, the sincerity. So we should be sincere at all times. Chapter 15, Shukracharya. After this pastime, he meets with Lord Vamanadeva and speaks to him. Mantratas Tantratash Chidram Desha Kalar Vastuta Savam Karoti Nishchidram Anusankirtanam Tava. In the performance of yajna or sacrifice, Shukracharya said, in the performance of yajna or sacrifice, there may be many discrepancies in pronouncing mantras, observing regulative principles. Discrepancies in time, place, person, and paraphernalia. When your Lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. So here Shukracharya is preaching Nam Sankirtan above yajna and puja and archan, which is so much difficult and complicated and prone to faults. He emphasizes that everything becomes faultless. Sarvam karoti nishchidram. That chanting Krishna's name makes everything faultless. Because in Kali Yuga it's very difficult to perform homas or yajnas perfectly. Hardly anyone can chant the Vedic mantras with perfect pronunciation or accumulate the paraphernalia for Vedic performances. Like ghee, for example. Can hardly find any cow's ghee in all of India. People in Bombay are running to the desert of Rajasthan to Bikaner to try to buy a kilo of ghee. Or some pious gentlemen are spending lots of money and time to privately keep a few cows in order to produce a kilo of ghee because it's nowhere available in the market. Everywhere in India, the so-called land of Dharma, land of religion. Everywhere people are eating dalda, so-called vegetable ghee, or at best buffalo ghee. Cow's ghee is very rare, hard to find, and we find it is very costly and dubious whether it's even really cow's ghee. To perform proper yagyas and homas, only cow's ghee can be used. No other ghee is acceptable. All these homas and yagyas that go on in the name of puja and Satyanarayan puja, yagyas and sacrifices are all nakli. They're all bogus because they're using buffalo ghee and other impure substitutes which are unacceptable to Lord Vishnu and the devas. They don't need it. They don't accept it. So the yagya is worthless. Prabhupada explains, I have seen that many religious leaders are addicted to performing yagyas and spending hundreds and thousands of rupees for imperfect sacrificial performances. Shukracharya is giving a lesson for those who unnecessarily execute such imperfect sacrifices. We should take the advice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and chant the Hare Krishna mantra and propagate Nam Sankirtan. Although Shukracharya was a strict Smarta Brahmin, addicted to ritualistic activities, he also admitted Nishchidram Anusankirtanam Dava. My Lord Vamanadeva, constant chanting of your holy name of your lordship makes everything perfect. And the Sandarbhas, Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami recommends that in all the different limbs of devotion, especially Archan, deity worship, there should always be chanting the holy name of Krishna. Therefore, in ISKCON, I give special stress to chanting the Hare Krishna mantra in all activities. It's the constant chanting of the holy name, Anusankirtanam, will purify everyone and purify all the elements and all the places and all the people and all the thoughts and activities and bring everyone to the perfection of life, loving service of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Text 24 of this chapter 23 describes how Indra returned to heaven. Indra bought Vamanadeva or Upendra. Another name for Vamanadeva is Upendra. To heaven to be with him. Because Upendra means the brother. Another Indra. Because the father of Indra is Aditi and Kasyap. And the father of Vamanadeva is Aditi and Kasyap, so they're brothers. Prapya Tri Bhuvanam Chandra Upendra Bhuja Palita Shriya Paramaya Justo Mumude Gata Sadvasa. Upendra Bhuja. Indra, the king of heaven, being protected by the arms of Vamanadeva Upendra, the supreme personality of Godhead, regained his rule over the three worlds, was reinstated in his own position, supremely opulent, fearless, and fully satisfied. Vamanadeva has different names, Upendra, Urukram, Trivikram. Read Bhagavatamrita describes something about the Upendra. We can examine that. This is part 1, Priyad Bhagavatamrita, chapter 1, verse 76. Apabhyo yamaso rakshan parshiyan yena vistritam sakshat svi kurute pujam tadvet vetsi tam utaparam. Lord Vamanadeva encourages Indra by shielding from dangers and accepting in person the elaborate worship Indra offers. But of course you already know this and much more. Tika. Vamana is not Indra's brother only in theory. He acts as a younger brother should, allowing Indra the pleasure of taking care of him. Indra insists on worshipping Vamanadeva as God, but Vamanadeva reciprocates by gracefully accepting the offerings in person. Vamanadeva is protecting Indra and also accepting the worship. Also in the second chapter, verse 5. There's some other discussion. Translation, chapter part 1, chapter 2, verse 5, Brihad Bhagavatamritam. Lord Vamanadeva loudly assured Indra that he need not be afraid of the demons, daityas. Kirti Devi offered Lord Vamanadeva betel nut, which he gracefully accepted and chewed. When Narada was visiting Indra Loka, he saw the demigods worshipping Lord Vamanadeva in Indra's assembly hall. The Lord's mother, Aditi, held his soft hands and cared for him in various ways. The Lord told Indra not to fear the daityas, for the Lord would protect him if necessary by killing all the demons. At that time, Vamanadeva raised his right hand, lotus hand, in the Abhaya Dan Mudra, gesture of fearlessness. Vamana's wife, Kirti Devi, lovingly offered some betel nut, which she had carefully prepared. He happily took it between his thumb and first finger and elegantly placed it in his mouth. So Kirti Devi is the wife of Lord Vamanadeva. Lord Vamanadeva is the most important resident of heaven. So here Lord Vamanadeva is showing his supremacy, but he's revealing his favor toward Indra by accepting his worship. The greatness of Indra. He has greatness spiritually and materially because the Lord of all lords became his brother, born from the same womb. The Lord accepts the inferior role of his younger brother, Upendra, teaching the rules of behavior by his own example. Vamanadeva is showing how a younger brother should respect his elder brother. Lord Vamanadeva submissively does what Indra tells him. Shukadeva concludes this chapter with the Phal Shruti Shlokas, with three Phal Shrutis, or benediction shlokas, blessing shlokas. Chapter 23, text 28. Sarvam etanmaya kyatam bhavata kulanandana ru kramasya charitam shrutrinam agamochanam. This is the boon or blessing that one gets by hearing this chapter or this discussion. O Maharaj Parikshit, said Shukadeva, pleasure of your dynasty, I have now described to you everything about the wonderful activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vamanadeva. Urukram Charitam. Urukram Charitam. Urukram is one who does amazing activities. Another name for Vamanadeva. Trivikram, Upendra, Urukram. Those who hear about this Urukram Charitam, or Charita, are certainly freed from all the results of sinful activities. So hearing about Urukram Charita, the activities and leelas of Vamanadeva with Bali Maharaj, such hearing of the Lord's activities will vanquish the results or reactions of all sinful activities. Agamochanam. Aga means sin. Agasura was the embodiment of sin. Big snake attacked Krishna Vrindavan. Agasura. Agamochanam will get free or liberation from all sins by hearing this lila. Text 30 is Phal Shruti number 2. Ya idam devadevasya harer adbhuta karmana avataranucharitam shrinvanyati param gatim. Shukadeva assures Parikshit, if one hears about the uncommon activities, adbhuta karma, hari adbhuta karma, adbhuta, amazing karma, amazing, incredible, astonishing, astounding activities of Hari. If one hears about the uncommon activities, the wonderful activities of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, in his various incarnations, he is certainly elevated to the higher planetary system, or even brought back home, back to Godhead. It says, Shrinvan Avataranucharitam. Avataranucharitam. The activities or life teachings and activities and pastimes performed by Krishna's different incarnations. Yati paramgatim. He goes to the supreme perfection, goes to the supreme destination, paramgatim, topmost goal, destination. Yati paramgatim. He goes to the supreme perfection. What is that paramgatim? Going back home, back to Godhead. Fal Shruti number 3 for the Vamanadeva Leela. Kriyamane karmanidam daive pitri tamanushe yatra yatranu kirtieta tatesham sukritam vidu. Whenever the activities of Vamanadeva are described in the course of a ritualistic ceremony, whether the ceremony be performed to please demigods, one's forefathers, and Petri, or to celebrate a social event like a marriage, that ceremony should be understood to be extremely auspicious. So, Kriyamani Karmani. Kriya Karma. Some karmic, karmakandic activity. There's three types of Kriya Karma. There's Daivik Karma, Manush Karma, and Petri Karma. Three kinds of ceremonies. Daiva karma, and all three of these ceremonies, either demigods, men, or ancestors, deceased ancestors, relatives in Petri Loka, the higher beings, the devas, the Petris, the previous ancestors, and the earthly residents, Manush. There are three kinds of ceremonies. Daiva karma, or ceremonies to please God or the demigods, and then Manush Karma, marriages, birthdays, social celebrations. There's Manush Karma. Then Petri Karma means activities and yagyas and pujas and shrad and pind to please the forefathers, ancestors. Large amounts of money are spent for these activities, but it's suggested here that along with these, with all of that and all the pujas and rituals and rites, there should be recitation of this wonderful Vaman Leela. And if that is done, then certainly these Daivik Karma, Manush Karma, Petri Karma ceremonies will be carried out successfully and will be free of all discrepancies. Well, there is some more discussion of Bali Maharaj and Brihad Bhagavatamritam. Amradev's Abhrabhav Titi Mahotsav Ki Jai. Bali Maharaj Ki Jai. In the nine limbs of devotion described by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the last one is Atmanavedanam, surrendering everything to the Lord, an example of a devotee or one who became perfect, attained spiritual perfection by performing this Lima Bhakti or this activity, is none other than Bali Maharaj. He gave his body, mind, words, universe, everything he had, he offered it at the feet of Vamanadeva. By this he attained spiritual perfection. Shri Vamanadeva Ki Jai.